Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer James Platy, 6:33 on a Monday evening in Lansing. Thank you for sticking around with us. Okay, well, here in America, we spent $2.7 trillion on healthcare last year. So what exactly did we get for it? And is the quality of the healthcare we're now getting really that good? It's something that the Institute for Healthcare Improvement is focusing on and recently discussed at its 13th annual International Summit on Improving Patient Care in the Office and Practice and Community. Maureen Bisignano is the president and CEO of IHI, and she joins me now to discuss this issue. Maureen, thank you very much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be with you tonight.
Now, this is one thing I'm guessing will not necessarily change under the Affordable Care Act, the quality of the care that we're getting. When it comes to the types of treatments we're getting from our doctors, especially the primary care physicians, what is the biggest problem in the system right now?
Well, as you said, Mike, we're spending $2.75 trillion each year on health care. And over 75% of that is going to manage chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, and the like, obesity. And what we're seeing is that although parts of the healthcare system are improving dramatically, the burden of chronic disease is increasing year on year. And it's very complicated. I don't believe that it can be managed alone through the healthcare system.
Well, we hear about doctors now holding these 10 to 15 minute meetings with patients. What does that interaction usually look like?
Well, usually what happens in a physician's office is a very busy patient and a very busy physician sitting and looking at lab work, looking at lab tests or results of x-rays, and talking about the results of their tests. What I'm proposing is that we begin to shift the conversation from what's the matter in a very short conversation, a very short clinical visit, to what matters to you. And how can we, the patient and the clinicians, work together to improve health?
Well, isn't the problem with a lot of chronic illnesses is that it's really up to the patient to address those issues? They're well aware that they might have dietary issues, they're not exercising. How much can a doctor really do about that?
Well, I think in the conversations, what we're seeing is when physicians and clinicians sit with patients and talk about not only the lab work, but what is their life like? What really matters to them? Do they have enough money to pick up the medications? Do they have a source of fresh food in their neighborhood? Are they able to get out and exercise? When they start to understand the circumstances of a patient's life, they're able to really come to some patient-level goals that are much more practical, much more achievable.
Okay, so we're spending almost $3 trillion a year on healthcare. And one thing I really want to understand is why going to see a primary care physician costs $200. I know that a lawyer can cost more, but at least a lawyer charges per hour. How is it that 15 minutes with a doctor is worth $200?
Well, it's running a complicated small business, really, isn't it? It's got lots of technology and staff that are manning electronic records in many cases nowadays, and also clinical lab equipment. So I do think that the current process that we've got for going for quick visits every 6 months or every year isn't going to provide the kind of changes we need. In many cases, I'm seeing, as an example, physicians will ask patients with diabetes or chronic lung disease if they want to come in and visit in a group. And so they might come in with 5 or 6 or 8 patients who have similar diseases, who speak the same language and who are of a similar age. And what they'll see each patient individually, but the patients will also see nutritionists and exercise counselors, and they'll talk to each other. And what we're finding is that these group visits are very, very helpful in decreasing the symptoms from chronic disease.
I'm talking to Maureen Bisignano. She's the president and CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. Do you blame the doctors at least a little bit? I mean, they're basically running through patients 100 miles an hour. They probably at some point they start seeing them as somewhat being all the same. Do you think that they should be more attentive and maybe shouldn't try to pack their schedule so tightly?
Well, I think that the current system has kind of drifted from personalized care over the years. I think the payment system incentivizes quick visits. And I see the Affordable Care Act as an example, opening people's eyes to thinking differently about how we might achieve care. Group visits is an example. Electronic visits. I was with an executive a few weeks ago who showed me his cell phone, and he said, "Look at this app. This is my record. And I can talk to my physician. I can get my lab results. I can book a visit. All of these things are possible now using technology that I think really guide a physician to achieve better results."
Well, what about the fact that these primary care physicians are basically a gateway to specialists? They see the patient, they'll give them some pills, but typically they'll shuffle them off right to the specialist, and that, of course, can be an incredibly costly process full of tests and otherwise. Is that really what we're seeing? PCPs are there just to say, go ahead, and you need to go over here for further care?
What I'm seeing now is a kind of a renaissance in primary care. And last week in Washington, D.C., there were about 1,350 physicians and nurses in primary care practices from every state and from seven countries. And they were talking about care in a very different way. They're talking not only about taking care of the whole patient and keeping them in the practice, but also taking care of families together. There were some wonderful new and exciting models of care there described, and I think that we'll start to see health get better as well as health care get better.
For those who believe that health care in the U.S., for those that have it, is the best or one of the best systems in the world, are they wrong?
We have some incredible technology, some wonderful physicians, innovation and new inventions in medicine. I love to get care in the United States when I need it. But I think the configuration of the system really needs some overhaul. And that's where these new models of care can produce a different way for doctors and patients to sit and have the time to talk about health and health care.
Well, this more universal health care, this socialized health care that exists in many European countries, do you view those models and the care that's actually provided to patients as being superior to what we're getting here in the U.S.?
In many cases, the primacy of the primary care doctor, the importance of a primary care doctor in a patient and a family's life does produce better outcomes in chronic disease. So I do think that the primary care model is something we need to work on. We can learn a lot from primary care physicians in other countries, and they can learn a lot about technology and tertiary care from the United States.
So for all the money we're spending and all the technology we have available to us, you're saying in essence that we're really not getting maybe as good as care as some of these other countries that aren't spending nearly as much money as we are?
We're getting great acute care, but when I look at the rates of chronic disease increasing across the United States, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, those are improvements that will only happen when we get patients into a care setting that's conducive to a relationship over time. Two visits a year won't get us into a better, healthy state in the United States.
How much is it the patients, though? The reality is we all know exactly, especially when you're talking about chronic issues involving weight gain and other aspects of health that we're all affected by here, diabetes, the heart disease, and so on. We all know it has to do with our lifestyle. We know the changes that have to be made, and very few of us are really willing to do that. Go ahead.
I am seeing patients, when they start to have conversations, take on ownership of their health in a different way. There's a physician at the University of Toronto named Mike Evans, and he just made a YouTube video called 23 and a Half Hours. I would encourage everybody to go onto YouTube and download a short video, 9 minutes, that's called 23 and a Half Hours. And what he's doing is he's talking to patients about a treatment exercise that only takes a little bit of your life but can have so many good effects. And even at IHI, when I showed that video to our staff, I started to see people going out for walks at lunchtime. So I think it's a matter of conversation, education, and us understanding what are the circumstances that a patient's living in.
I'm guessing the implication is that we don't exercise for 23 and a half hours, but rather the remaining half hour, and that might be enough for us.
You get 23 and a half hours to do whatever you want, yeah.
And then the other half, you got to do something you don't want to do. But now I do want to ask you, is there anything that you see in our current healthcare system that you would say is completely unnecessary, extremely costly, and wouldn't be missed by anyone if we got rid of it?
I think in some cases, routine physicals, when it's just a series of tests, and then the patient goes home and sometimes doesn't even ever know what the results were. There are lots of procedures that are overused. A recent study by the ABIM is producing some lists of procedures that are overused. I think there's lots that's wasteful in the U.S. healthcare system, and I think there's lots of money we can save and put toward primary care if we decide to go that way.
What about the Affordable Care Act? Hospitals are concerned about the influx of new patients, but what do you think about the fact that we have all these problems right now with our system in the sense that we're spending so much money of it, and we're going to dump so many more patients into this healthcare system without addressing those first? Do you think that is likely to be an issue?
Well, here's what I see. In many cases, a hospital now will take very good care of a patient, let's say with congestive heart failure, and then send the patient home. Most of the time when I speak to physicians and nurses, they have no idea what that patient's home is like. They don't know if there's a caregiver there. They don't know if the patient has the money to pick up medications, whether they have any nutritious food at all. And so the patient will go home, and oftentimes up to 20% of Medicare patients in the United States will be readmitted into hospitals back within 30 days. That's an unnecessary hospitalization. If we can see care as continuous, the Affordable Care Act is having hospitals and doctors, primary care people in the community and home health aides all talk about the same patient so that everybody's aware when they send the patient home what supports that patient's going to need in order to stay healthy and vibrant at home. Mm-hmm. That a lot frees up a bed for a new patient who's coming into the system.
Maureen Bisignano, the president and CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. Maureen, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Mike.